Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Albin Hears. Father Peter is the founder of Uncut Mountain Press and the rector of the parish of the Holy Prophet Elias in a small village in the mountains outside of Thessalonica, Greece. In this podcast, Father Peter shares with us his 10 years of experience of living the faith and serving the church in Greece. Here's Father Peter.
Welcome to another postcard from Greece. Well, in our previous program, we promised we would be sending you news of our time in Athens, where I was invited to speak to the Diocese of Glyfada about Protestantism, Protestant missionaries, Protestant mentality. Because, if you remember, the diocese there, just in the outskirts of Athens, really on the border of Athens, has been encountering an increasing amount of Protestant missionaries. But not only Protestant missionaries, but a variety of religious groups, sectarians, other religions, groups like the Scientology sect, or Jehovah's Witness, or Mormons, or a whole host of different groups that are now trying to poach the believers from the churches there in Athens. And so they sponsor every month a speaker who comes in and speaks about different aspects of the church's pastoral response to these spiritual threats of the faithful, but also about the mission work of the church in contemporary Athens. Well, there was a two-hour discussion and also question and answers, which, of course, I can't reproduce for you in one program. I just want to touch on one aspect in today's program, and hopefully we will continue later on in other programs to talk about other aspects of the talk. First of all, I want to say that I was very impressed by the zeal and the spiritual maturity of the diocese, of the bishop, of Father Constantine Stratigopoulos, who was the organizer of the evening and the general, the program that they have there in response to these heretical groups. And it was very beneficial for me, and I hope that I was able to help them as well. And I talked about the history of Protestantism, the theology. Some of the contemporary fathers have dealt with it, like St. Hilarion Trotsky, who has written a number of important texts, which I highly recommend you find on the internet, on the unity of church, Christianity or the church, Holy Scripture and the church, all dealing with these important questions of the church and orthodox or non-orthodox approaches to the church. So I spoke a little bit about the fathers, what they have to say, but as a practical example, a contemporary example of how to confront, combat, deal with pastorally all of these missionary challenges for the church, I presented the person of the new martyr, Father Daniel of Moscow. And I think many of you have heard about him. You can find him again on the net. You can punch in Father Daniel, and Serbian Conversations would be one text that is circulated, which is very good. And that was interviews that he gave in Serbia just before he was martyred. Father Daniel, if you don't know, is a new martyr of the Russian church. That's what many are calling him. He was a pastor, a priest, a missionary in Moscow who about a year and a half ago was gunned down by a Muslim. And many believe he was killed by Muslims because he had a tremendous success among Muslims in Moscow. About 80 baptisms he had done in just a few years. Also, he was very successful generally in reaching out to a variety of groups, cult members, cultists, but also Protestants. He was responsible for about 500 conversions in just about 5 or 10 years there of working as a priest and a missionary. And I presented Father Daniel's example because contemporary Moscow is probably not much different than contemporary Athens. Both Russia and Greece have gone through tremendous changes over the last 100 years. Things have changed in terms of geographical, demographic, all kinds of things have done, but also all kinds of changes have happened, but also in terms of the spiritual and religious makeup of the city. And so today you're dealing with really a multicultural, international city, which is huge and expanding all the time, filled with religions from all over the world. And so he was a good example of how a priest or a parish could respond to the challenges that have been presented by these new conditions. Before I went into Father Daniel, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and maybe in future programs, I'll get into Father Daniel's program, which was a tremendous witness to all of us, and I hope many priests will be inspired to follow his spiritual program for his parish, and maybe we can talk about that in future programs you can find on the internet in the meantime. But I think I want to stress two things that Father Daniel exemplifies and the Orthodox mission must exemplify if we're going to be faithful to tradition and also successful. And the first is that we must stay on the royal path in approaching the non-Orthodox person, the missionary from other religious groups, avoiding the two extremes. So on the one hand, we have on the right, we have the temptation of indifference and no love for the person, a super correct, which is a term that's become popular from Father Seraphim Rose's writings, a super correct approach, and that is a zeal without knowledge, supposing that one loves the truth even while he shows little sympathy or love for the person bereft of the truth. It's this lack of love for the person, for the image of Christ in the person, that is a spiritual disease, a Pharisaism on the right, which kills both the one who knows but loves not, the one who knows but loves not, but also the one who is ignorant but in search of the truth, in search of love. Because the deluded, the one who does not know the truth yet but is searching, is often proud, arrogant. That's what keeps him in the darkness. But nevertheless, he's in search of love and understanding. And one, an Orthodox should always respond without, of course, undermining or subverting the truth in any way, must respond with love for the person in spite of their antagonism to the truth. And so on the right, we must avoid, rather, the indifference to the person, the self-righteousness, the cold self-righteousness, the lack of sympathy for his situation. On the left, which is a far more common temptation that many Orthodox have fallen into today, but not only Orthodox, but many Christians, and that is indifference to the truth, not having love for the truth. It's a temptation on the left. It's a coldness to the truth. Many times people feign love for their brother, say they love their brother, but for various reasons, worldly reasons, they don't offer him the bread of life, which is the truth. And so true love is really not present. And I think one could describe this delusion on the left, this temptation from the left, as basically a denial of the need for repentance in order to be united to Christ. Because what is believed is that more or less we're all already in one way or another united to Christ. We have different degrees of unity with Christ. And therefore, it's not so much that one has to return from distance from Christ, being estranged from Christ, but simply increase their already present unity in Christ. And that's what we hear in the various religious dialogues that are promoted today. But in fact, repentance means return. And there can be no true unity in Christ without repentance. And of course, the most important errors one must repent of are dogmatic errors. So this idea that we can achieve a unity without repentance, without return, without a renunciation of dogmatic errors, of course, is totally unacceptable to the Orthodox and the Orthodox Church. And this idea is, of course, very present in the modern world because people have lost love of the truth. And things have been relativized, and people don't believe that there is truth anymore, many people. But we as Orthodox Christians must fight this. We must fight against this, and especially in terms of our missionary outreach, we must not allow this idea to enter into our approach or affect our approach to the non-Orthodox, to the different religions of the world. And of course, Father Daniel is held up as a great example because he did not allow these ideas to affect his approach. In fact, he was quite strident in a good way, in a very faithful way, in terms of upholding these principles. And so he was not only a great example for us, but he was also very successful. And I think that's something that oftentimes people who set out to reach out with Orthodoxy, they can become disillusioned or tired, and then turn to a supposedly more successful way or easier way. And then these principles are kind of put aside, supposedly because they don't bring success. But I think that the saints of the church have shown that that's not the case, and Father Daniel shows that that's not the case at all. When we are faithful and when we are quite dogged in our insistence that these principles are not only not put aside, but are employed and lived by, then we will see spiritual fruit. And this is the challenge for the people in Athens that I spoke to. It's a challenge for Orthodox Christians all around the world, that they remain faithful to the apostolic teaching and the teachings of the Holy Fathers. So we have the temptation on the left. We have the temptation on the right. We have the temptation of being indifferent to the person and not having love for the person. We have the temptation of being indifferent to the truth and not having love for the truth. And both of these we must avoid. And so the royal path is the truth in love, a prophetic directness and a patient endurance. This is what the Orthodox are called upon to give. This is what Father Daniel gave, and this is what all the Holy Fathers and all the saints gave. They were patient in their struggle. They were very conscious of the eschatological stance of the church, that we were looking toward heaven. We're not looking for temporary improvements or temporal achievements or quick answers or quick solutions. We're interested in maintaining the wholeness and imparting the wholeness, the Catholicity of the Church in practice as well as in theory. And this is a martyrdom today. The more one understands the need for this and achieves and acquires the discernment to understand how this is employed in daily life and in the missionary work, the more one is going to live a martyrdom. And let me finish this program today, because I want to change a little bit our approach to things in Postcards from Greece and do more programs, but shorter programs, so that we can stay in communication and in touch more often. And so I'm going to keep these programs to one particular point and shorter. And today I want to end with some very interesting comments from one of Father Daniel's closest co-workers, who I had the blessing to meet with just a few weeks ago. He came here to Greece on a visit, and he brought with him some precious belongings, let's say spiritual relics of Father Daniel, which he imparted to me, which I'm very grateful for, because I venerate the memory of Father Daniel. And we had a nice talk. And we were talking about this whole question today of missionary outreach in this increasingly relativistic and syncretistic milieu that has taken over the Western world, but is definitely very much present in the Eastern world as well, in the Orthodox world. And I asked him what Father Daniel had to say about that. And he said that Father Daniel, this is Yuri Maximov is a close co-worker, and we had a nice meeting together. He was very close to Father Daniel and still continues in the same spirit and the same mission as Father Daniel. He's a professor of theology in St. Serge's Theological School, and now he's a deacon, recently ordained a deacon. Yuri told me that Father Daniel felt that we were approaching a period of great persecution for Christians today, and the persecution will take the following form, that true Christians will refuse to agree with this proposition of contemporary relativistic society, which wants to make all religions and all paths equal. It's a theory that has different forms. I mean, we've heard about it from people like René Guénon or Fridtjof Schuon on a very philosophical, theological level, refined way of saying that all the paths that lead up the mountain all lead to God, and there's a transcendental unity of all religions. This is a view that, although newly put by people like Schuon, is actually quite old, and we encountered it in the Gnostics in the ancient church. In any case, this view that wants to, on a refined level, like Schuon, wants to create an esoteric ecumenism, as one writer calls it, esoteric ecumenism. On a coarser level, on a political level, we see it very much present. The political leaders don't really care much about religion. They just want to use it for their political ends. And so they want all the religious leaders to gather and to talk about worldly means and worldly goals and have the church, you know, serve those. And so in that context, you know, there's no one talks about the differences, or no one calls upon the others to repent or return or anything like that. So on various levels, we have this one world religion that's being formed, at least in terms of accepting all the religions as being equal or salvific. And it will be the denial of this, according to Father Daniel, according to Yuri Maximovich, who told me Father Daniel thought this, and I think it's very obvious for a lot of people here in Greece as well, for the fathers I know on the Holy Mountain, that the Orthodox will deny this, and this denial will be the greatest heresy in the coming years, that this will be the greatest bigotry, this will be the greatest affront to a unified society. And so we will be obstacles. We will erect obstacles to supposed worldwide unity when we refuse to acknowledge that the religions and the sects and the various heresies are all paths up the mountain, or most of them are all salvific and equal at the end of the day to the church. This denial will bring persecution, will bring martyrdom. But it will be such that many Christians will say these who refuse to acknowledge this, are not true Christians. And so there will be great confusion. And they will call these fanatics, they will call them, you know, various names, because they refuse to become enlightened by this new, deep, more refined view of things. And so we're approaching a time when Orthodox mission work, according to the example of Father Daniel and the Holy Fathers, is going to be very difficult. And it's going to be a martyrdom. It's going to be a martyrdom for Orthodox Christians. But if we, the Lord says, remain faithful until the end, we will be crowned. We will be saved. And this is my prayer, that all of us, and I pray that, I ask you to pray for me as well, that we will all remain faithful, that Christ and his church, Christ is the only path of salvation in the world, and his church is the ark of this salvation, and that this truth will be preached in Athens, in Moscow, in America, and around the world by true Orthodox Christians until the end of time.
You've been listening to Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Alban Hears, founder of Uncut Mountain Press and rector of the Parish of the Holy Prophet Elias in the mountains outside of Thessalonica, Greece. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.